My dear friends, we are in a war. And this war isn't a new war. It's been raging for a very long, long time. Matter of fact, this war didn't even start here. It started in heaven. It started when an angel by the name of Lucifer thought, I'll exalt myself above God. And he started a war instantly. The Bible said, I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. And since that fall, he has been causing havoc and wreaking havoc. And the war that started there is now continuing right here. And what you need to know, Christian, is that because of this war, we need to be ready for the battle. We need to be armed and engaged. We need to be on the battlefield ready to fight. You need to know this, Christian, that there have been a lot of good believers before us that have fallen prey to this war. You need to know that there was a woman by the name of Eve that walked with God in the cool of the garden, that knew God like we desire to know God. She saw him, she seen his glory, experienced his presence in the fullness of it, and understand she could listen to his voice when he spoke, and without fear in her heart, she knew his glory. But isn't it sad that Lucifer, Satan himself, was able to beguile her and to cause her to sin against God, and she fell prey to this horrible spiritual war? Christian, we need to be armed. If people like Samson, who have the strength of God that could kill 1,000 Philistines at a standstill, rip the gates of Gaza off the walls and carry them 45 miles up a hill and set them on the top of a hill and still fall prey to lust in his heart over a woman by the name of Delilah, my dear friends, we need to be armed and ready, because if Samson can fall, so can we. If Eve can fall, so can we. We need to remember that when Saul was little in the eyes, when he felt little in his own eyes, God could exalt him. But when he was filled with pride and thought he could do it all by himself, he stumbled and fell by the temptations around him. We need to remember that a man who was after God's own heart by the name of David was able to fall to lust and commit a sin with Bathsheba, kill her husband, and sit on the throne and act like everything was fine until a man by the name of Nathan had to confront him of his sin. We are all subject to this war. And you and I need to be engaged and ready for the battle. The most infamous victim of this war is Judas himself. Here's a man who walked with Jesus. Here's a man who saw Lazarus hop out of a tomb and saw the glory of God and resurrection power. Here's a man who watched as the men tore the roof off of a house and lowered a man down who could not walk. And he watched as he picked up his bed and walked out. Here's a man who saw the woman who pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. Here's a man who watched the streets fill in Gennesaret as sick people laying in beds hoped that they might just touch his garments. And the Bible said as many as touched him were made whole. This is the man Judas who walked with Jesus and slept next to him and saw the storm calm by his hands and saw peace come into people's lives and saw healings galore, and still he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Yes, we are all subject to this war. And Christian, you need to know that this war doesn't care about your association. It doesn't matter if you grew up in church. It doesn't matter if you lived on the streets and you were a heathen of all heathens. This war does not care. It'll take out the least of us. It'll take out the best of us. It'll take out the pastors. It'll take out the lay people. It'll take out the people who take up offering. It'll take out the song leader. It'll take out the piano player and the drummers and the musicians. It'll take them out. This war wants to come into your life and destroy you. And so, Christian, we must be strong. We must. The call to be strong in our lives comes from God's word. Finally, my brethren, be strong. strong in the Lord. Christian, we must be willing and ready. We must be engaged. We cannot allow ourselves to be brought back by fear. We cannot allow ourselves to retract or to back down. We must engage in this war. You know, you must know there are no neutral people in the battleground. You are fighting. You are on one side or the other, my dear friend. You are not. And if you don't make a choice, you've made a choice. You have chosen to fight with the enemy by not choosing to fight for the Lord. I have chosen. Have you chosen this morning that I fight on the Lord's behalf? I work for Him. He's my King. He's my Redeemer. And so we have to make a choice. Are we going to be strong in Him? Or are we going to let the enemy destroy our lives? Be strong in the Lord. You must choose. Side. You are either with God or you are with Satan. You either serve God or you serve the world. You must choose your side. You need to know this, that because there is no, you are not, that we are not neutral in this fight. You know, we're never neutral when it comes to the love of God and the grace of God. We could talk about that all day long and praise the Lord. If I talk about His love, you'll all say amen. If I talk about His grace, you'll say glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. If I talk about His mercy, you'll have to say amen because you needed it. But when I talk about being strong in the Lord, there's a whole nother aspect to that. That means that there are times in your life that it's not going to be about the love of God. It's not going to be about the grace of God. It's not going to be about the mercy of God. It's going to be about the strength of God. And you're going to need His strength in those moments in your life. When you are in the war, the love of God is great, but I need His strength. When I'm in the war, I need the power of His might to be on my side. I need the God who crushes walls to be with me. I need the God who stops the sun to be with me. I need the God who splits seas to be with me. When I am in this war, I want the strength of God in my life. The time for passivity is over. When God, we are God's loving hands in this world. We are God's feet in this world. We are God's voice in this world. We cannot pass over this. We cannot ignore this. Finally, my brethren, be strong. It's about time for you and I to rise up as believers and be strong and be His voice, be His hands, be His feet, and be what God has called us to be, and not cower back in fear, but stand boldly and say, we serve a living God and we will not cave. I want you to know that all the physical battles that Israel fought under the leadership of Joshua when he was on the conquest of the promised land, none of those battles compared to the spiritual battle that was going on in the hearts and lives of all those people. You can conquer lands, but if you don't conquer your heart, my dear friend, you've lost everything. You got to conquer that heart. It's the heart that matters between you and the Lord. That's why Joshua, at the end of all the conquests, when all the wars seemed to be over, he said to the people in Joshua 24:15, I don't know about any of you folks. He said, but as for me and as for my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You choose you this day whom you serve. Beloved, you got to make up your mind this morning that you say, my house belongs to God. My home belongs to God. My heart belongs to God. My mind belongs to God. My soul belongs to God. My body belongs to God. You got to choose. That's your choice. So choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But I say to you right here, right now, in this pulpit, my home will serve the Lord. We will march in victory. We are not weak, but God is strong. Paul understood this battle. That is why he ended his letter to the Ephesian church. He said, finally, it's like he anticipated it. It's like he knew that their battle was coming, and he knew. And so Ephesians is filled with wonderful doctrinal truths. The redemption of Christ is in chapter 1. Salvation by grace through faith in chapter 2. The chief cornerstone fits all of us together, both Jew and Greek alike, in chapter chapter 2, the mystery of Christ revealed in chapter 3, spiritual gifts in chapter 4. Put on the new man, which is renewed in Christ Jesus in chapter 4. Don't grieve the Spirit of God, which is in chapter 4. Walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom in chapter 5. Then he encourages husbands to love their wives. And oh, husbands, you need to love your wives. And he encourages wives to love their husbands. And wives, you need to love your husband. But then Paul said, I've told you all that, but finally I got to what matters right now. Now that you're saved, you need to know that you're in a war. Be strong. Be strong. Don't cower. Paul, by the discernment of the Holy Spirit, knew that brothers and sisters in Christ were going to walk into a battleground that they had no clue about. Let me remind you that Paul found himself in a Philippian jail cell. That doesn't sound like love, grace, and mercy, does it? It sounds like times to be strong. It doesn't sound like love, grace, and mercy when Moses is at a Red Sea. He needs God to be strong. You need to know. Paul understands that now that you're a believer, you need to be strong. You need to be strong. And so Paul begins to discern this, and he knows that distraught soldiers will run trembling to the foxhole and they'll hide. You know what a soldier does? He digs a foxhole, he climbs in the hole, and he hides there. And he doesn't get out of the hole, that way the bullets can fly over him. But do you know what many Christians do? They live their life in the foxhole. They're too afraid to get out. They're too afraid to speak on his behalf. They don't want people to be offended by the glory of God that's in their life. They don't want people to think they're weird or crazy. Heaven forbid you might speak in tongues, because then they'll think you're a fanatic. But if I speak in tongues and you think I'm a fanatic, I really just don't care. Amen? Because the glory of God is what matters. You got to understand that the fear will keep you in the hole when God wants you to get out of the hole and keep marching, my dear brother. Fear will stop teenagers from serving God at school. Fear will stop adults from telling somebody at the job how good he is. Fear will stop you from praising God in this house. Don't think for one second it won't, because it does all the time. When somebody else is praising God and you're not, something's wrong with you, not them. Oh, amen. You need to give God such a place in your life that you're not afraid. Listen, tap your neighbor and say, I'm not afraid of you. Now look at him. Now look back at that neighbor and tell him, I don't care what you think of me. Because you need to understand that people will get in your way and stop you from having glory with God, having a moment. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost falls on them who are focused on them and the Lord. The Spirit of God falls on them who are praising God, not because of the people around them, but because they're in love with God, and the power of God falls in those people's lives. Let me remind you that the crowd got in the way when the man was on his bed, and they didn't stop because of the crowd. They climbed up on the roof and ripped the roof off. The woman with the issue of blood didn't allow the crowd to stop her from getting to Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, you cannot stop me from getting to my Lord. I must be strong. You must be strong. And you must press. And you must fight. And you cannot allow yourself to cower. This battle is not a foxhole living. We're not hiding. We have come out to fight. We have come out to fight. Devil, you cannot have our children. You cannot have our homes. You cannot have our pulpits. You cannot have our church. You cannot have what God has given to us. And by the glory and the power of God, we are mighty through God. Not by us, but we pull down strongholds because God is in our lives. So Paul begins with the antidote. He begins with the antidote for this war. He begins with the antidote for fear. Be strong in the Lord. That's the antidote. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in him, not in your ability. In other words, Christian, you just keep marching. You just keep marching. It is not your job to do it. God does it. It is not your job to fight it. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. You couldn't save yourself. That's why Jesus came. You're not holy enough to get to him. That's why Jesus came. You're not righteous enough. Matter of fact, your righteousness is like filthy rags. Yeah, you might have put on a nice dress and you might look good, but anything you do outside of coming to Christ and receiving his imputed grace and receiving his imputed righteousness and receiving his justification just as if you never sinned is pointless. You cannot fix you. Only Jesus can fix you and heal you and empower you. So we are not strong by ourselves. We are being strong in the Lord. The strength that we have doesn't come by us. The outcome is not determined by the outcome is determined by God's performance, not our own skills. I don't care if you are skilled. I don't care if you are talented. Your talents will not replace God in your life. You must have the Lord. You cannot do this alone. We need God to do it through us. So the antidote is clear. When heartaches come, and oh, brothers and sisters, doesn't heartaches come? When the heartaches come, be strong in the Lord. When distress comes, have you ever been in distress? Be strong in the Lord. When you feel forsaken, have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt forsaken? Have you ever felt lost? Have you ever been serving God and wondering if God was there or even knew you were there? Be strong in the Lord. There are times in your life you're going to experience pain. It may be pain of sickness. It may be pain in your body. It may be pain of loss. But that is not the time to cower back and give up. It is the time to say, Lord, I'm going to be strong in you. When sickness comes, and brothers and sisters, if you live long enough, you're going to experience sickness. You need to be strong in the Lord. Your body can be laying in bed, but your spirit alive and strong. You may not be physically able to go, but spiritually you can be strong in the Lord. You need to know this, Christian, that the antidote for this fear is simple. We have a backup. We have support. I am not alone. You are not alone. You have God on your side. The idea here is finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord simply means you've got backup. It's not by your might, nor by your power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We are overcomers by the word of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That overcoming power that pulls down strongholds is not in your ability, but it is in God's ability in your life. Moses didn't split a Red Sea. God split a Red Sea. Moses didn't bring man from heaven, God brought manna from heaven. I'm telling you, the glory of God is what brings the power into our lives. So don't be strong by yourself. You have support. Be strong in the Lord. Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the enemy. So surrounded that the servant said, Elisha, we're in trouble. Elisha, we've got real problems. Look at the enemy around us. Look at this. And you know, my dear friends, isn't that how it is? We look at the world and we go, man, we're in some real trouble. And I could look out at the world and see that. But I also know that where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth abound much more. And I know the God that I serve is capable of turning all of America to him. I know that the God that I serve has a power to overcome the enemy, and I can trust in him through all of this life's journey. And Elisha says to his servant, oh God, open up his eyes that he might see. And just then the Spirit of the Lord opened his eyes that he could see clearly, and when he saw the angels of God standing on the hills around, and Elisha's servant said, oh, Elisha, I want to change my statement. There are more that are for us than them that are against us. I'm telling you, my dear friends, when you have God, you got it. When you have God, you got it. You're not lacking, you're not slacking, and you're not going to be overcome. No, we might be distressed, but we're not forsaken. Amen. We might be cast down, but we're not destroyed. Because when God is with us, we are not strong by ourselves, but we're strong in the Lord. Now, you need to know this, that because God has given us His power and His might, His strength, because the Lord will do the fighting, we can focus on our task. Be strong. You are not fighting by yourself. He's fighting for you. That's what the cross is all about. That's what the empty tomb is all about. God fighting for you. For God so loved the world, you. He loved you. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. God fighting for you. And now that God has saved you, He has equipped you to stay there. Amen? He has equipped you to continue the fight. He has equipped you to be His hands, His feet, His voice, to be His soldier, to keep marching, to be strong in the Lord. What did God say to Joshua three times in Joshua chapter 1? He said to him, Joshua, be strong and courageous. And then he went down a little further and he said, oh, Joshua, just so you don't forget, be strong and courageous. And then at the end of chapter 1, he says, Joshua, just one more time, be strong and very courageous. Why? Because he's going out in a battlefield and he needs to trust God and he needs strength to overcome and to fight the fight that he is about to fight. Listen, you cannot do this by yourself. You cannot overcome by yourself. Be strong in the Lord. Spiritual strength and courage is needed in order to obey today, my dear friend. If you want to walk with God in obedience, you have to have courage. I have told teenagers, I was youth pastor for like years working in youth ministry, and I always told the teenagers, no sissy, serve God. You want to know why they don't? Because it takes a real person of courage to stand up and say, I love God. Oh, you teenagers that go to school and you cower to the fear of this world and you know what God is capable of doing in your life and you cower in temptation and you yield yourself, I say you're the sissy. Because I'm not a sissy. It takes real strength for me to stand up here and tell you who God is. It takes real strength for you to stand on a public school ground and tell people you love God. It takes real strength to tell the devil no to the temptations of this world. It takes real courage for someone to say, I am not going to bow my knee to this world. It takes real courage to do that. But it's real easy to cower self in fear and hide in a foxhole and knowing what you know. What a shame for some of you teenagers. When God has men like David, and God has men like Joseph, and God has young servants who will do His work. If you won't do it, if you won't get up, angel, and focus, angel, slap him. Angel, if you won't get up and focus and serve the Lord, God will choose someone else, young man. God will do it on somebody else. You need to make up your mind and decide in your heart that you're not going to cower to this world, but you're going to serve God. Takes real strength to be obedient. Sorry for calling you out, Angel. I don't mean to embarrass you. I love you. I just noticed you. The world looks at us on our knees in prayer and it laughs and it says, oh, look at that humble posture. Look at how humble that is. What is that going to accomplish? But you don't realize what's going on while I'm praying. You don't know what power's flowing while I'm praying. You don't know what victory has come. You want to know that every victory that God has given to our life has come in a humble place of prayer. And when you have fallen on your knees, you found victory. And when you have fallen down and cowered in God's presence and said, God, I cannot do this alone, you found strength. And when you were weak, He was strong. When you couldn't, He did. And when you failed, He overcame. And when you had no strength, He gave strength and renewed strength and mounted your wings up as eagles and allowed you to fly and soar above the storm. All of that is possible because God gives the strength. Listen, this war will sift out those. I need to hurry because I got a lot to say. This war will sift out those who profess Christ from real Christians. You cannot you will not be able to continue to serve God as a professing Christian and not really have it. Listen, the reason why you're here right now is something real has happened in your life. Something real has taken place. The reason why you didn't quit the 15 million times you could have is because something real has happened in your life. The reason why when you were at the end of your rope and all of a sudden the rope got longer and you don't know how, that's because something real has happened in your life. And you need to know that this war will sift out those that are not ready, that are not willing, that decided they don't really want to serve God. They're half-hearted, because anybody can serve God for the fishes and the loaves. But when it's time to drink his blood and eat his flesh, a whole new gospel being preached there. It's time to sacrifice and lay it down. There's a lot of people that can serve God because he's loving and merciful and graceful to our lives. But can you serve God when all hell has come against you? Can you serve him when the storms are raging and the valley is hot? Can you serve him then? Listen, everybody can serve God on a mountaintop, but we need people who are willing to serve God no matter what they're facing in their lives. That's why Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. There has never been a greater and braver leader than Jesus himself. He was brave. He was strong. He was mighty. I want you to know this. He never lost a battle. Never lost a battle. Temptation could not lure him or trip him up. He did not fail God. I come to do your will, O God, he said, and he did his will. The cross did not scare him, and the tomb could not contain him. And the victory of Jesus Christ, the captain of our soul, has given us the ability through his blood, through his sacrifice, that now we are not mighty by ourselves, but we are strong in the Lord. We need to know that God has strong men. Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with great men like Abel, who served God and was willing to give God what he deserved. Men like Enoch, who walked with God and was translated and taken off this planet. Men like Abraham, who was willing to leave family and friends and loved ones in search of a city whose foundation and builder and maker was God. A man like Moses, who despised Egypt, the riches of Egypt, and said, I'm going to live out in the desert with God's people because I want to be with God. He esteemed God higher than all the riches of Egypt. God has men that love God. God has men that are willing to be sawn asunder, men that are willing to go to the grave and die, men that are willing to give it all and lay it all down, sacrifice their money, sacrifice their time, sacrifice their life, all of it for the cause of Christ. That is what God is looking for. And since we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with patience. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us fight the good fight of faith. I love what Paul said to Timothy. He said, Timothy, I am now ready to be poured out like a drink offering. I am now ready. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, but for all them that believe and love God. I'm telling you that we are in a war, my dear friends, and we have to be willing to fight. All right, okay. Don't fall asleep. Touch your neighbor and say, stay awake. Listen, two things are needed to be strong in the Lord. Are you ready? Two things. And this is my final thought. Establish yourself in God's truth. You need to know God's word. I'm not talking about a passive understanding. There's a lot of people who know about God. I'm talking about people that know God's word. There's a difference, my dear friend, and knowing God's word and knowing about it. You can know that the word of God is powerful, but is it powerful in you? Is it alive in you? You can know that the word of God is living, but is it alive? alive in you. You need to know that the Word of God is alive. Have you ever been in a church service and the preaching grabbed a hold of your heart? A word that was spoken, something that was said. Have you ever been in church and you felt like the preacher followed you all week long and preached everything you needed to hear? That's what you call a living word. Have you ever read your Bible and the words jump off the page and arrest your heart and grab a hold of your mind? Have you ever been in a place where the Word of God has just captivated you and blessed you and anointed? The reason why is because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, we touched him and we handled him. And Peter said, where can I go? He has the words of a life. This living Word of God is what we need in our hearts and in our lives. And we cannot have a passing understanding. We cannot have just a common acquaintance with the Word. I don't want to go to the Word when the boat is sinking. I don't want to patch holes in a boat while I'm sailing. I want to have my boat ready. I want the Word hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Him. And don't forget, it was by the Word of God that Jesus overcame Satan. He said, it is written. We need His Word. It's easy to be persuaded by foolish teaching. I cannot believe the ignorance that is in the world today. We have so many people that couldn't tell you the difference between a Holy Ghost goosebump and a roller coaster goosebump. We got so many people that don't understand what it means to speak in tongues or even be filled with the Holy Ghost. We got people that don't even know how to work and operate in gifts of the Spirit. My generation is so spiritually ignorant that they don't know what God can do, what He will do, and what He wants to do. They have no clue. And then when preachers get up and preach like this and spit and turn purple, they think, what is this all about? I don't understand it. They're so completely clueless to what God can do. And what you need to know is that God's people perish for a lack of understanding. We need to know His truth. So we must establish ourselves more than just a pocket scripture that we pull out. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Congratulations, you memorized one. Get some more in your heart. Get some more in your heart. Why don't you get that one that says God's angry at the sinner every day? Put that one in your book. Why don't you get that one that says that God became the propitiation for your sins? Why don't you get that one in your heart? Why don't you get that? Why don't you finish that one that there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus? Why don't you finish it? Why don't you add a little more to it? We need more than just for God so loved the world. We need to know that God is in us. He is with us. And His Word abides inside of us. More than just a knowing. You got to have it. My dear friend, this Word is alive. It's not something you know about. It's something you know. It's Him. It's Him that we know. We need to have Him. So establish yourself. How am I strong in the Lord? His Word makes me strong. Not you, not the counselor. He's my counselor. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against counseling. I'm not against it. But I have a counselor greater than any counselor. I have a man they call the Prince of Peace. The mighty God is He. I have a God who gives me strength. I have a God that when I don't even have the Scripture, the Holy Spirit will lead me to the Scripture. I have a God who will guide me through this life of all the struggles I face. And so how am I strong in the Lord? I have more than just a passing acquaintance with God's Word. I have His Word hidden in my heart. And His name is Jesus. Now get this. Okay. I'm almost done. He said we need to have a heart that is set in the right direction. Not only do you have His Word, but God isn't just after your mind, He's after your heart. It's your heart that sets your mind in the right place. It's your heart. I used to think that the conscience of man was always governed by the Spirit of God until you start reading about psychopaths who have no compassion for anybody. And they have no conscience and they have no fear and they could care less. And so they kill people without any concern of conscience. And their conscience even tells them to do that. And so your conscience has to even be governed by the word of God. And your conscience needs to be changed with a heart that's pointed in the right direction. God is after your heart. That's why Jesus said, you say don't commit adultery. Jesus said, I tell you, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Because Jesus came and he elevated the law of God to being more than just a religious rule that you follow. Just because you go to church, that doesn't mean you're saved, my dear friend. Just because you darken the doors of a building every now and then and give God a little hallelujah or an amen doesn't mean you got it. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? God wants your heart. Your heart is where it is. Didn't Paul say, set your affection on things above? Did not Jesus say, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also? Your heart is what God wants. Because if your heart loves God, then you're going to walk in a path that is right. It's that motivation. Knowledge of God's word without a heart in the right direction is like a man that has a gun with bullets without a firing pin. When you have the knowledge of God, it's a shame that you know the things of God, and it's a shame that you know the Bible scriptures and you can whip them out. There's a lot of people that know the scriptures and they can whip them out, man. They can pull them out. But when you don't have a heart that's in love with God, it's like a gun that won't fire. What good is that on a battlefield? God doesn't care what you know. He cares that you know him. God will give you the strength. I'll never forget when we went to Seymour, Missouri. And when I say Seymour, Missouri, there ain't nothing to see more in Missouri. Amen. It's just a place. You know where Seymour, Missouri is, sis. It's just a little place. And Seymour, Missouri, a little country town. And we went to this little church. And I'll never forget that pastor. He took me to his office, which was quite literally a broom closet. And I am not kidding you. It was that wide. It was wide enough for a door. And it was narrow. You could not sit in this room. Your knees would almost hit the wall and your back hit the wall. And he goes, this is my office. And I go, what in the world do you do in there? He said, I get alone with God. Oh, man, he did not have a Bible college education. He did not have the greatest oratory skills. He was not talented. He wasn't gifted in anything. Matter of fact, when he spoke, he had a country slang to his voice. But when he got behind the pulpit and he opened the Word of God, the relationship with him and God was so powerful, it overcame his lack of education. It overcame where he came from. It didn't matter what slang he had in his voice. He was so anointed because of the power of God in his relationship. Your power is not in what you know. It's in your relationship with God. That's where the power's at. Oh no, I'll never forget when he prayed. You remember that time we saw him pray, baby? I mean, the pulpit was big, man. It was massive and tall, you know, wood you could hardly see around it. And he disappeared. He fell on his knees. And he said, God, I can't preach without you. And when he said those words, the anointing behind that pulpit rushed out to the congregation. It grabbed my heart, grabbed my wife's heart. Tears flooded my face. It did not matter what that man, I wanted to hear what that man had to say. His relationship with God, he had a connection, my dear friend. And what I need and what you need is a connection, not just knowledge about a connection. It's not good enough to know you can plug in. You gotta plug in. You got to have a heart that is set in the right direction. The half-hearted won't go very far. False motives won't make it. The hypocrite is zealous for a moment and he falls apart. A divided heart will not make it. A man whose thoughts are divided in his thoughts, let him not think he'll get anything from God. We must be strong. Will you come to the piano? We must be strong. We cannot do it alone. And the point, the direction of our strength. Can you put the verse back up? the direction of our strength. Finally, my brother, now that I've told you everything, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. King Jehu, a man who was given direction by God at the beginning, and he followed all the directions of the Lord. He followed God at the beginning, and then when he became the leader, he decided that he would not go all the way. My dear friend, don't be divided. Go all the way. Don't allow yourself to stop short of the glory of God. Don't allow yourself to not experience more and embrace more and have the power of God operating in and through your life. Don't allow yourself to sell yourself short. God's strength is yours. I said, God's strength is yours. And we are mighty through God to the pulling down. Strongholds don't have a chance to the glory of God. Why do you think the walls fell in Jericho? Why do you think the sun stood still? Because God is mighty. Why do you think those people were healed by Jesus? Because God is mighty. God's the one who does it. We need to be strong in Him. You're here this morning because you need Him. You need Him. You need Him. We can't do it alone. Can't do it without God. We need Him right now. Right now, be strong. And so, Christian, I want to call you to arms. I want you to realize that not only did God save you, but now He has equipped you. You are not weak. You ought not to be afraid, but you